So now we will proceed with chapter number 38, Akura's arrival in Vrindavan. Narada Muni did not mention Krishna's killing Vyomasura, which means that he was killed on the same day as the Keshi demon. The Keshi demon was killed in the early morning, and after that, the boys went to tend the cows on Govardhan Hill. And it was there that Vyomasura was killed. Both demons were killed in the morning. Akrura was requested by Kamsa to arrive in Vrindavan by evening. After receiving instruction from Kamsa, Akrura started the next morning via chariot for Vrindavan. And because Akrura himself was a great devotee of the Lord, while going to Vrindavan, he began to pray to the Lord. Devotees are always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, and Akrura was constantly thinking of Lord Krishna's lotus eyes. He did not know what sort of pious activities he must have performed to gain an opportunity to see Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram in Vrindavan on that day. A pure Vaishnava always thinks himself unfit to serve Krishna. So Akura began to think within himself that he was unfit for gaining the transcendental opportunity of seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He considered himself as unfit for seeing Krishna as a materialistic person is for understanding the science of God, or as a fourth-class person, a Shudra, is for studying the Vedas. But then Akura began to think. By the grace of Krishna, everything is possible, and thus, if he likes, I will be able to see him. Just as a blade of grass floating on the waves of a river may by chance come near the shore and gain shelter, a conditioned soul, carried away by the waves of material existence, may sometimes be saved by the grace of Krishna. Akura thus thought that if Krishna willed, he would be able to see him. Akura considered himself most fortunate that he was going to see Krishna, whom great mystic yogis desire to see. He was confident that on that day, all the sinful reactions of his past life would be finished, and his fortunate human form of life would be successful. Akura also considered that he was very much favored by Kamsa, who was sending him to bring back Krishna and Balaram, and thus enabling him to see the Lord. Akura continued to consider that formerly great sages and saintly persons were liberated from the material world simply by seeing the shining nails of the lotus feet of Krishna. That Supreme Personality of Godhead has now come just like an ordinary human being, and it is my great fortune to be able to see him face to face, Akura thought. He was thrilled with the expectations of seeing the very lotus feet which are worshipped by great demigods like Brahma, Narada, and Lord Shiva. Those lotus feet which traverse the ground of Vrindavan, and which touched the breasts of the gopis covered with tinges of kumkum. He thought, I am so fortunate that I will be able to see those very lotus feet on this day. And certainly I shall be able to see the beautiful face of Krishna, which is marked on the forehead and the nose with tilak. And I shall also see his smile and his curling black hair. I can be sure of this opportunity because I see that today the deer are passing on my right side. Today it will be possible for me to actually see the beauty of the spiritual kingdom of Vishnu Loka, because Krishna is the supreme Vishnu and he has advented himself out of his own goodwill. He is the reservoir of all beauty. Therefore, today, my eyes will achieve perfection. Akrura knew beyond a doubt that Lord Krishna is the supreme Vishnu. Lord Krishna glances over the material energy, and thus the cosmic manifestation comes into being. And although Lord Vishnu is the creator of this material world, he is free by his own energy from the influence of the material energy. By his internal potency, he can pierce the darkness of the material energy. Similarly, Krishna, the original Vishnu, by expanding his internal potency, created the inhabitants of Vrindavan. In the Brahma Samhita, it is confirmed that the paraphernalia and the abode of Krishna are expansions of his internal potency. The same internal potency Krishna exhibits in Goloka Vrindavan is exhibited in the earthly Vrindavan, where he enjoys himself with his parents and in the company of his friends, the cowherd boys and gopis. By the statement of Akrura, it is clear that since Krishna is transcendental to the modes of material nature, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who are always engaged in loving service to the Lord, are also transcendental. Akrura also considered the necessity of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. He thought that the transcendental activities, instructions, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna are all for the good fortune of the people in general. The people can remain constantly in Krishna consciousness by discussing the Lord's transcendental form, qualities, pastimes, and paraphernalia. By doing so, the whole universe can actually live auspiciously and advance peacefully. But without Krishna consciousness, civilization is but a decorated dead body. A dead body may be decorated very nicely, but without consciousness, such decorations are useless. Human society without Krishna consciousness is useless and lifeless. Akrura thought, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has now appeared as one of the descendants of the Yadu dynasty. The principles of religion are his enacted laws. Those who are abiding by such laws are called demigods, and those who are not abiding are called demons. He has advented himself to give protection to the demigods, who are very obedient to the laws of the Supreme Lord. The demigods and the devotees of the Lord take pleasure in abiding by the laws of Krishna, and Krishna takes pleasure in giving them all sorts of protection. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, these activities of Krishna, his protecting the devotees and killing the demons, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, are always good for men to hear and narrate. The glorious activities of the Lord will ever increasingly be chanted by the devotees and demigods. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the spiritual master of all spiritual masters. He is the deliverer of all fallen souls and the proprietor of the three worlds. Anyone who was able to see him by eyes smeared with love of Godhead enjoys a festival of seeing. Today, I shall be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who by his transcendental beauty has attracted the Goddess of Fortune to live with him perpetually. As soon as I arrive in Vrindavan, I will get down from this chariot and fall prostrate to offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord, the Master of all material nature and all living entities. The lotus feet of Krishna are always worshipped by great mystic yogis. So I shall also worship his lotus feet and become one of his friends in Vrindavan, like the cowherd boys. When I bow down before Lord Krishna in that way, certainly he will place his fearless lotus hand on my head. His hand is offered to all conditioned souls who take shelter under his lotus feet. Krishna is the ultimate goal of life for all people who fear material existence. And certainly, when I see him, he will give me the shelter of his lotus feet. I am aspiring for the touch of his lotus-like hand on my head. When that hand touched the presentations of King Indra and King Bali, these two became qualified to be lords of the universe. And when that hand touched the gopis as they danced with Krishna in the Rasa Leela, it relieved all their fatigue. In this way, Akura expected blessings from the hand of Krishna. He knew that Indra, who is the king of heaven and the master of the three worlds, the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems, was blessed by the Lord simply for his offering a little water, which Krishna accepted. Similarly, Bali Maharaj gave only 3 paces of land in charity to Vamanadev, and he also offered a little water, which Lord Vamanadev accepted, and thereby Bali Maharaj attained the position of Indra. And when the gopis were dancing with Krishna in the Rasa dance, they became fatigued, and Krishna wiped his hand, which is as fragrant as a lotus flower growing in Manasarovara Lake, over the pearl-like drops of perspiration on the faces of the gopis, and immediately the gopis became refreshed. Thus Akura was expecting benediction from the supreme hand of Krishna. Krishna's hand is capable of bestowing benediction upon all kinds of men, if they take to Krishna consciousness. If one wants material happiness, like the King of Heaven, he can derive that benediction from the hand of Krishna. If one wants liberation from the pangs of material existence, he can also get that benediction from the hand of Krishna. And if one in pure transcendental love for Krishna wants personal association and the touch of his transcendental body, he can also gain that benediction from Krishna's hand. Akrura was afraid, however, because he had been deputed by Kamsa, the enemy of Krishna. He thought, I am going to see Krishna as a messenger of the enemy. At the same time, he thought, Krishna is in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, so he must know my heart. Although Akrura was trusted by the enemy of Krishna, his heart was clear. He was a pure devotee of Krishna. He risked becoming Kamsa's deputy just to meet Krishna. He was certain that although he was going as a representative of Kamsa, Krishna would not accept him as an enemy. Even though I am on a sinful mission, being deputed by Kamsa, when I approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I shall stand before him with all humility and folded hands. Surely he will be pleased with my devotional attitude, and maybe he will smile lovingly and look upon me and thereby free me from all kinds of sinful reactions. I shall then be on the platform of transcendental bliss and knowledge. Since Krishna knows my heart, certainly when I approach him, he will embrace me. Not only am I a member of the Yadu dynasty, but I am his relative and an unalloyed pure devotee. By his merciful embrace, surely my body, heart, and soul will be completely cleansed of the reactions and actions of my past life. When our bodies touch, I will immediately stand up with folded hands, with all humility. Certainly, Krishna and Balaram will call me Akrura uncle, and at that time, my whole life will be glorious. Unless one is recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's life cannot be successful. It is clearly stated here that one should try to be recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's service and devotion, without which the human form of life is condemned. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is equal to everyone. He has no friends and no enemies. But he is inclined to a devotee who renders him service with devotional love. The Bhagavad Gita also declares that the Supreme Lord is responsive in proportion to the devotional service rendered by the devotee. Akrura thought that Krishna was like a desire tree in the heavenly planets, which gives fruit according to the desire of the worshipper. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is also the source of everything. A devotee must know how to render service unto him and thus be recognized by him. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is therefore explained that one should serve both the spiritual master and Krishna simultaneously, and in that way make progress in Krishna consciousness. Service rendered to Krishna under the direction of the spiritual master is bona fide service, because the spiritual master is the manifested representative of Krishna. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that when one satisfies the spiritual master, he or she satisfies the Supreme Lord. It is exactly like service in a government office. One has to work under the supervision of the departmental head. If the supervisor of the department is satisfied with the service of a particular person, a promotion and increase in pay will automatically come. Akrura then thought, when Krishna and Balaram are pleased with my behavior, certainly they will take my hand, receive me within their home, and offer me all kinds of respectable hospitalities. And they will surely ask me about the activities of Kamsa and his friends. In this way, Akrura, the son of Shvapalka, meditated on Sri Krishna on journey from Mathura. He reached Vrindavan by the end of the day. Akrura passed the whole journey without knowing how long it took. When he reached Vrindavan, the sun was setting. As soon as he entered the boundary of Vrindavan, he saw the hoofprints of the cows and Lord Krishna's footprints impressed with the signs of his souls, the flag, trident, thunderbolt, and lotus flower. These symbols on the soles of the Lord's transcendental lotus feet are worshipped by all the demigods and other great personalities throughout the three worlds. Upon seeing the footprints of Krishna, Akrura immediately jumped down from the chariot out of respect. He became overwhelmed with all the symptoms of ecstasy. He wept and his body trembled. Out of extreme jubilation, upon seeing the dust touched by the lotus feet of Krishna, Akrura fell flat on his face and began to roll on the ground. Akrura's journey to Vrindavan is exemplary. One who intends to visit Vrindavan should follow the ideal footsteps of Akrura and always think of the pastimes and activities of the Lord. As soon as one reaches the boundary of Vrindavan, he should immediately smear the dust of Vrindavan over his body without thinking of his or her material position and prestige. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung in a celebrated song, Vishaya Chadiya Kave Shuddha Haviman. When will my mind be purified after leaving the contamination of material sense enjoyment? Then I shall be able to visit Vrindavan. Actually, one cannot go to Vrindavan by purchasing a ticket. The process of going to Vrindavan is shown by Akrura. When Akrura entered Vrindavan, he saw Krishna and Balaram engaged in supervising the milking of the cows. Krishna was dressed in yellow garments and Balaram in bluish. Akura also saw that their eyes were exactly like the beautiful lotus flower that grows during the autumn season. He saw Krishna and Balaram in the spring of their youth. Although they had the same bodily features, Krishna was blackish in complexion, whereas Balaram was whitish. Both were the shelter of the goddess of fortune. They had well-constructed bodies, beautiful hands, and pleasing faces, and they were as strong as elephants. Now, after seeing their footprints marked with flag, trident, thunderbolt, and lotus, Akura actually saw Krishna and Balaram face to face. Although they were the most influential personalities, they were glancing at him with smiling faces. Akura could understand that both Krishna and Balaram had returned from tending cows in the forest. They had taken their baths and were dressed with fresh clothing and garlanded with flowers and with necklaces made of valuable jewels. Their bodies were smeared with the pulp of sandalwood. Akura greatly appreciated the aroma of the flowers and the sandalwood and their bodily presence. He considered himself very fortunate to see Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his plenary expansion, Balaram, face to face, for he knew that they were the original personalities of the creation. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Krishna is the original personality of Godhead and the cause of all causes. Akura could understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had appeared personally for the welfare of his creation, to reestablish the principles of religion, and to annihilate the demons. With their bodily effulgence, the brothers were dissipating all the darkness of the world, as if they were mountains of sapphire and silver. Without hesitating, Akura immediately got down from his chariot and fell flat, just like a rod, before Krishna and Balaram. Upon touching the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became overwhelmed with transcendental bliss. His voice choked up, and he could not speak. Due to his transcendental pleasure, incessant torrents of tears fell from his eyes. He remained stunned in ecstasy, as if devoid of all powers to see and speak. Lord Krishna, who is very kind to his devotees, raised Akura with his hand and embraced him. It appeared that Lord Krishna was very much pleased with Akura. Balaram also embraced Akura. Taking him by the hand, Krishna and Balaram brought him to their sitting room, where they offered him a very nice sitting place and water for washing his feet. They also worshipped him with a suitable presentation of honey mixed with other ingredients. When Akura was thus comfortably seated, Krishna and Balaram offered him a cow in charity and then brought very palatable dishes, and Akura accepted them. When Akura finished eating, Balaram gave him betel nuts and spices, as well as pulp of sandalwood, just to make him more pleased and comfortable. The Vedic system of receiving a guest was completely observed by Lord Krishna himself to teach all others how to receive a guest at home. It is a Vedic injunction that even if a guest is an enemy, he should be received so well that he does not apprehend any danger from the host. And if the host is a poor man, he should at least offer a straw mat as a sitting place and a glass of water to drink. Krishna and Balaram welcomed Akura in a way just befitting his exalted position. After Akura was thus properly received and seated, Nanda Maharaj, the foster father of Krishna, said, "My dear Akura, what shall I inquire from you? I know that you are being protected by Kamsa, who is most cruel and demoniac. His protection is just like the slaughterhouse keeper's protection of animals he will kill in the future. Kamsa is so selfish that he has killed the sons of his own sister. So how can I honestly believe that he is protecting the citizens of Mathura?" This statement is most significant. If the political or executive heads of state are simply interested in themselves, they can never look after the welfare of the citizens. As Nanda Maharaj spoke to Akura with pleasing words, Akura forgot all the fatigue of his day's journey from Mathura to Vrindavan. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 38th chapter of Krishna entitled Akura's Arrival in Vrindavan.